All it but for the showers we
bleed. Amen. God bless you. God bless you, Brother Mike, for song leading, even though it was not easy. But you are a soldier. Amen. We praise the Lord for being in this house again. And we thank you because it's not the numbers that make the worship. It's a surrendered heart. It's a committed man that is a good and willing sacrifice to the Lord. Amen. Let's bow our heads to offer a word of prayer. Dear Lord, we thank you once again this evening for coming once again in your house, O Lord. You said in your word, where two or three are gathered in your name, you are in their midst, O Lord. It's not about a big crowd, O Lord. You don't count your people, you weigh them, O Lord. It's the quality of the people you get, O Lord, that matters for you, O Lord. That's why we believe, O Lord, that your children being here is a mark of love in their hearts, O Lord. And they've come to give you honor. They've come to offer you a sacrifice, O Lord. You are in our midst, O Lord. And we believe, O Lord, that we'll bless them for being here. We commit our brethren down there in Wicklow, O Lord, our youths, and many of our brethren, we have joined them. We know it's a time of consecration, O Lord. We are united together with them, O Lord, in prayer and in one heart, O Lord, believing, Heavenly Father, that you'll make yourself manifest in the lives of these youngsters, O Lord. Because we are living in a world which is really targeting them, O Lord. They are on the line of target of the devil because he knows they are the only one that can stand against his plans, O Lord. That's why everything is designed in a way to make them fall, O Lord. But you've said in your word that even the gates of hell will never prevail, O Lord. That's why we commit these children into your hand. Grant them the overcoming power, O Lord. Grant them victory, Heavenly Father, because you will always have witnesses in every age, O Lord. And in this age, they're going to be overcomers. And they are called to be overcomers. And they will overcome. Give us that heart, helping heart, O Lord, to help them. While we can do anything for them, O Lord. Bless us as we open your word. Be with us in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. So we are going to have our prayer meeting today. With God's grace, we are not planning to have it long. Just a few minutes talking about the word, meditating around the word, and then pray for our youngsters, our youth who are in Wicklow, so that God could really meet them and give them a life-lasting experience, which they can refer to anytime from now on in their lives and say, from that day, something happened in my life. So we are opening our Bibles. Proverbs 22:6, and then Acts 16:31. The first reading, Proverbs, the Bible says, "Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it." Amen. Second reading, Acts 16:31, and they said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, thou and thy house." Amen. You may be seated. God bless you. So, in these few readings we have read, you know that our youth, they've gone to Wicklow, and we are supporting them in whatever manner we can through our prayers, and our gathering tonight should be focused on giving them support, on asking the mercies and grace of God upon them, so that these meetings will not only be a picnic, will not only be somewhere they go for fun, but anything that has been preached should be a new experience for them. So we see, we all know that God, if God has given us, if God gave us these children, many of us here are parents, and many of them that are there are our children, our youth, young brothers and young sisters, but our responsibilities. God have given us a sacred responsibilities by giving us these children. He have trusted us in providing for us to have these children. It's something that God will hold us accountable at the end. What we have done with the children he has given us. So we have a responsibility on raising these children. You know, most of the time we only care about the natural things, which is providing a shelter for them, giving them food, buying them clothes, sending them to school, doing whatever humanly speaking we can do for them. That's very good. We love our children. We provide, and as parents, we struggle. We do all that we can to give them the best that we can. The best clothes that we can afford. To send them to the best school that we can afford. We do all that. That is very good. But it happens many times that we forget. We always forget that they are threefold. They are threefold. They are body, spirit, and soul. And most of the time we cater only for the body and the spirit. We mostly forget the most important part of their being, which is the soul. It's okay. We'll make them healthy. They'll be nice looking, very beautiful girls, handsome boys, well-dressed, well-educated. They can, you know, make big speeches. They'll become big ministers or whatever, very good citizens. They know how to respect the laws of the country. They know how not to offend people or whatever. That's very good. Mannerism, very good. But most parents, we fail to, you know, provide for that most important part, which is the soul. Most of the time, we even don't commune with our children on that realm. We can give them, we can put prescriptions on them. Don't do this. Don't go there. Don't go. Sometimes we even bring them to church. Because we are believers, we are Christians, we bring them to church, but we are not, you know, fellowshipping, we are not in communion with the innermost part of them. Because the first person that God has put in these children's life to lead them, to show them the way, it's us parents. And God has trusted us, and he has put a trust in them, in the children, in us. Because our children, every child sees his or her mother as the most loving mom, woman in the world. Every child sees his or her dad as the most powerful man in the world. See them when they are playing. She'll be boasting herself. He will be boasting. My dad said, my dad will bring me this and that. Even if the dad didn't say. Even if the dad doesn't have money to buy her an airplane, she'll tell her friend, my dad will buy me an airplane. Because it's a natural thing that God has put in them to believe in you. And it's an open gate. It's an open door for you as a parent to put whatever you want the child to become, whatever you find precious for you, and whatever you believe that it will be the child's, for the child's future, for the child's good future, you provide for it. That's why you see, if a parent have been, I don't know, in Oxford, he'll do his best so that his daughter or his son to go to Oxford or to a similar university, because he believes that the most important thing he has got, and he wants to provide that most important thing to their child. My dad was always telling me, I didn't have the chance to go to university because of my upbringing, because of my background, because of the condition of the country that time. May all of you, my children, I want you to go far, far better than myself. And he could, you know, do whatever he could. Sometimes he wouldn't have shoes on his feet. Sometimes he wouldn't have something to eat at work. But he will sacrifice himself to send us to school. Because the parents want their children to excel. That's very good. But most of the time we miss the target. Because they will become whatever we like. They'll become doctors, they'll become engineers, pilots, but we have missed the point if they didn't get to meet the Lord in their earthly life. Amen. So it's a very fertile ground that God has provided for us to sow seed on it. It's a very fertile ground. That's why you see, for those people who worship football, you'll see from the grandfather, if he's, I don't know, Liverpool, you see the son wearing the Liverpool's jersey. You see the grandson, Liverpool. You'll see the baby, Liverpool. Why? Because the father has found something precious in Liverpool. He has taught it to his son. The son taught it to his son. And it's going there from generation to generation. Because the child, whatever his father tells him, he believes that is the truth. That's why you'll see George Bush's father was in the Republican Party. George Bush's son, Republican Party. The other George Bush, Republican. And you'll see generation after generation. The Kennedys, you'll see them in that same party. Son, father, grandson, and so on. Because God has given you that ability to for the child to trust you. When you come and tell him, Finafol is the best, the child will grow up to become a Finafol member. When you tell them, Manchester United is rubbish, they will grow up hating Manchester United. Because it's a natural gift that God has put in us that our children should believe us, should trust us. And it's a very good opportunity that we don't most of the time use. We spend time, they go to school because they believe us. They eat the food we give them because they believe us. If my child goes today to Brother Nat's house, they give him the food his children enjoy, they look at it, sometimes they say, oh, I don't like it. Because since he was born, I or his mother didn't give him that food there. He trusts that food because it's given, provided by dad and mom. So we don't use that ability to its full extent. They trust us. It's an opportunity for us to show them the path we have gone through, to lead them through the way of God. If a believer, you fail to get your child baptized of the Holy Ghost, you are the first God will hold accountable first. You will be the first one God will ask account for. Because that child, God has put in him something to trust you. That's why the Bible says, teach your child, train up your child in the way he should go. And when he is old, he will not depart from it. It's not in vain that the Bible says that, because it knows the child will trust you. Something, you know, it may be in another family, Some parents, they may tell their children, wearing trousers is good. That child will grow up believing that wearing trousers is good. But in your house, you told your daughter that it's not good. She will believe it. Even if one day she will try to go astray, she will do it deliberately. But there'll be a voice in her telling her that what you are trying to do is not good. Because, you know, I grew up as a Catholic. My dad was a Catholic, my mom was a Catholic, I was baptized, First Communion, and all those stuff. We didn't have this spoken word, but I didn't sin, not because the priest told me not to sin, but at home, my mom and my dad were telling me, don't do this, don't do that. And any time I was coming across something like that, when I would see my friends, when we became teenagers, my friend taking a cigarette to smoke. Sometimes I would smoke, but inside of me, something will tell me what you are doing is not true. That notion of good and bad came from the teaching of my father and my mother. So anything that we show them today will become, you know, a building block on which they're going to build, they're going to base their future life. We've seen in the Bible many very important people in the Bible. Behind them, they had a good mother or a good father or both. If you see, you'll find out they were a supporting father, a supporting mother, and they made these children to become what we know them to be today. That's why our first responsibility is towards our children. How can I go and stand in the street in Carlo with Brother Greg, I don't know where, and preach to those strangers that I don't know, when my own children in the house, I've not made sure that I've preached the gospel to them? Amen. Brother and sister, most of the time we fail to commune with our children on that realm. Amen. We let that job to the pastor. We leave it to the Sunday school teacher. How many times have you put your children there and teach them the word? How many times have you sat with them and commune with them on that realm? Because most of the time we are just there giving them, you are just rulers, you know. Don't do this. Don't go there. Don't say that. Don't eat this. There's a lot of don'ts. But what are the do's? Sometimes we are too negative to our children. There's a better way to put those don'ts to them than being too negative. There's a better way. So when you get saved, your first responsibility, the prophet says, I'm going to read a quote there. And this quote I think we have read it many times. And today I want to bring it in a different perspective. I want to put it in a different perspective of us and our children. The prophet says in the sermon in his presence, 1962, any man that comes into the presence of God is responsible before God from that minute on to tell somebody else. Look at Abraham. Look at Moses. Look at Peter. Look at Paul. The moment they come into the presence of God, recognize themselves sinners, and seal their testimony with their lives. Look at the little lady. She couldn't stay no longer. She went to the city and told the man. And after these things, you've seen it and come into his presence, you are responsible for the message to get to somebody else. You just cannot sit still with it. You must take it to someone else. And before I go onto the streets of Dublin to give this message, to tell them about my salvation, how about your wife? How about your children? Because they are your first relatives. You know, it's not easy for me to convince that stranger I meet for the first time in Dublin and for that person to believe me. It's not easy. But I have an open door. Look at Philip. The time he met Jesus, he recognized that he's the Messiah. Who is the first person he went to meet? His brother. And it was easy for him to tell his brother and his brother to trust him. Because there's a trust relationship, a family relationship between the two of them. He trusted him first because he knows, this is my brother. If he came to tell me something, it means it's something he finds precious. Let me give him the benefit of doubt. Amen. Sorry. Your brother, your family member will give you first that benefit of doubt because he trusts you. Your son, your daughter is not even giving you the benefit of that. He trusts you sometimes blindly. Say, this is that. If you tell you tell your child, take this and drink, it won't question you. He won't think maybe it's petrol or maybe it's poison. No. Even in the middle of the night, in the darkness, you take, you say, drink. She will take and she will drink. She knows it's dad who gave me. And dad cannot give me something bad. Amen. So why don't we take that opportunity to bring them in the higher realms of the Lord? Amen. Sometimes we say, no, let's wait. Let them grow up. My brother, do you know when John the Baptist was saved? When, brother? Yes. In the womb of his mother. He had the Holy Ghost in the womb of his mother. So don't wait. No, let them grow up. The salvation will wait when they become teenagers. No. From the time they are born. You know, mothers, they speak to their children when they are in the womb. Am I right?
Amen.
Yes. So, if you can speak to your child, I know my mom, she was telling me, when I was born, she was alone in the room, in the yard. So she was scared because it was a big yard and she was alone. And to console herself, she was talking to me and telling me how many brothers I've got. That little baby we couldn't even open the eyes. No, you have such, your big brother, your big sister, you have such, and your dad's name. So if you, a mother can do that for these worldly things. And when she was saying that, you believe she could say that if she doesn't trust herself that this child is understanding what I'm saying? She's not fool. She was saying something, believing that I'm talking to someone. She was communicating with someone she believed was listening to her. So you can do the same thing. We can do the same thing with our children. Teach them the ways of the Lord. Commune with them. Enter into that realm with them. Instead of just sitting and talking about the things of the world. We can, I don't mean doing what I'm doing here. You know, I won't sit them there for 2 hours preaching them. But there's a way. As parents, we know when they are toddlers, we know how to talk to them. When they become kids, we know how to talk to them. When they become teenagers and so on. As a parent, know how to commune with your child. It's your responsibility. Because these children, they are born with some skill, some, you know, God's commission in them. We don't know it. Moses, when he was born, his mother didn't notice he was a liberator. The mother and the father didn't know that this boy will be the man that God will use to free us from the Egyptians. But, as the prophet puts it, Jochebed was telling Moses about their history. Jochebed was busy teaching Moses about the God of heaven. The prophet says, he speaks about Moses in why Christ speak. Now then, see that he was born with this great gift in the and qualities within him. Then it only taken something to flash across that to bring that thing to life. So Moses was born with a gift in him, a sleeping gift. And that gift, he didn't know about it, but he heard a mother who taught him about the ways of the Lord. Listen, we are Hebrews. Listen, our father, Abraham, listen, we heard, he was telling him about his genealogy, about the covenant of God to their grandfather, Abraham, about Joseph, how he brought them to Egypt, about the bones of Joseph sitting somewhere there and waiting for them to go out and to go to a land where these bones will be brought back to life again. So Moses grew up knowing that one day there will be a man who will come on earth, will bring the dead back to life. Moses grew up knowing that there's a promise of God that one day he will, you know, free his people from this land. That's why it was not hard for Moses when he met the pillar of fire to understand what was going on. Moses didn't doubt because there was a preparation job done behind. In his bringing up, his mother, his father, they did the job so that Moses, even if before he met the pillar of fire, he couldn't stand seeing an Egyptian persecuting a Jewish. Because there was building blocks put in him that he could know his identity. There was something in him, as the prophet put it, it was now waiting just to meet that spark of light. That's our job. We don't know what skills God has put in these children. But one thing we are sure of, they are souls that need to be saved. And we are the first pastors. We are the first teachers that God has put in their life. And it's our responsibility to bring this gift, to bring these skills, and to bring this soul to meet God. Don't be in distraction. Most of the time we live not too much busy with the things of this world. We are too much busy giving them this, giving them that, which is perfectly okay. But the most important part, we don't look at it. How many times, brother, how many times, sister, we sit with our children and speak about the things of the Lord? No formal speeches. Deep speaking. Talking about meeting the Lord. Talking to them that they need salvation. Letting them understand that going to church is not, that it will not bring you to heaven. You need the God that I met, you, me, your father or your mother, is the same God that you need to meet one day in your life. Salvation is not like a piece of bread that I will share with you, my son or my daughter. Because humanly speaking, I have affection for you. If I see you hungry, I have a piece of bread, I'll share it with you. Sometimes I'm even give it to you and I'll starve myself. But the Holy Spirit is not like that. My Holy Spirit is for me. And you, my daughter, you have to understand that you need the same Holy Spirit. You need to walk on the same ground I walked. The only thing I can do for you is to show you the way. The only thing I can show you is to show you the marks I've followed. And you put your feet on the same marks and you'll get to the aim. That's the only way we can help them. Show them the way. Show them that they need salvation. They need to come to a day when they say, today or I die. You have gone through that experience. You know what it means to be baptized of the Holy Ghost. And it will not be a pleasant thing to see your children tomorrow when you are rejoicing in the presence of the Lord, them lost. I don't know what kind of heaven I will be rejoicing knowing that my children, they are lost. You understand? So it's our responsibility, brother. Our responsibility to look, to make sure that we have shown them the way. Whatever they will do with it later, it's their responsibility. But You have done your job if you have shown them what to follow, what way to go, and what to say. The prophet says, talking about that experience that the mother, Moses' mother, gave to his son. Because it was that made the big man that he became. Because if the mother didn't put that thing, that seed in him, you know, it was easy for Moses. He was living in a king's palace. How easy it is to get entangled in those things that's going on around the palace. You know, as a prince, you are always busy with protocols. You are going here and there, honors and everything. If that mother was not there to help that man, that boy, to understand, don't get lost in these things. You have a higher call. Amen. Amen. Moses, you have a higher call more than what you see. You have a higher call more than the music of the world. You have a higher call more than the girls of this world. You are a higher call. God has called us to go out of this land. Look, whatever you see around the palace, it seems good, it seems attractive, but your place is not in this palace. Your place is in the land that God has promised to your father, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. So Moses was equipped so that when all these things will come, it was attractive, it was, you know, very catchy, but he couldn't do anything on him. He was happy to go and suffer with his, you know, blood brethren in slavery rather than enjoy being called the son of the daughter of Pharaoh. Amen. So it's very important for us. The prophet says, and there, here Moses, basing his great call upon the word, until one day he met this light. And the very word itself spoke back to him. Then he got his anointing. That anointed what he had in him. It means he had something already in him. And the anointing came to anoint what seed the father and the mother had put in him. The Holy Ghost will not come out of the cloud like that. It takes a preparation. John the Baptist came from a family of Levites. It was a religious, it was a God-fearing family. And from that background, the Holy Ghost came. You need to make a preparation for your children to know what is the Holy Ghost. Because you tell them, you need the Holy Ghost. You need the Holy Ghost. But they don't know, they don't even know what the Holy Ghost is. They don't even know what serving the Lord is. They don't even know what salvation is. We need to say these things to our children. We come to church many times. People like us, the preachers, ministers, they will start talking about the seven seals, about the cloud, about the angel, about this and that. It's far beyond our children's understanding. Don't leave that job to the pastor only. Mothers, don't leave that job to the Sunday school teacher. When you go back home, your child must understand the basics first. So that when they come to Sunday school, it will be just a repetition of what the mother told them at home. The prophet says, the intellect that was inside him, the intellect that believed it, the faith that was based upon his belief in God that separated him from his mother. And now when he strikes in the presence of this light, it anointed that he had believed. Amen. What an anointing. And he was commissioned. Now we know intellectually that he heard his mother. The prophet says, keep on saying that. He was taught by his mother. that you are Moses. Moses, listen, you are not this, you are this. Moses, and he had put those things inside of him. He knew what was going to take place. And he knew he was living in that day. But we found out that he was a failure. You know, even when in his failure, he didn't fail because he was trying to run away from God. He failed in his zeal. Because he believed this thing so much in him that he thought that it was with his human abilities that he was going to do it. Even if he didn't have the power from God yet, he said, let me go. These things were so anchored in him that he could even risk his life. Because killing him an Egyptian, he was sentenced to death. He was able, he was ready to give up his life because of the things his mother taught him. You see at what extent you have an influence on your child. You father, you see at what extent you have an influence on your child. If you don't teach him, you learn from somewhere else and get a bad influence, you'll have missed that golden opportunity that God has given you to start something in them that will build up to their full salvation. Moses didn't meet the pillar of fire yet, but Moses was prepared. Moses killed the Egyptian. Moses, instead of, you know, rejoicing, sitting in the palace and getting all the honors, he preferred to go in the wilderness because of the seed that the mother put in him. So when your child tomorrow, they'll be taught that homosexuality is good. What are you trying to do to counterbalance that influence? Because, you know, there are very good arguments about defending homosexuality. Same-sex marriage. People are out there. They will come with a very polished English from, I don't know, Boston or Harvard or wherever, and teach them. What are you trying to do today when they are still small to let them, to plant that seed in them when they'll be taught these filthy things to resist against it? We have that responsibility and we have to take the opportunity. They are down there in Wicklow. We may be happy they are being taught. They'll come back to us, but we need to water that seed when they are back. Don't just forget they've been there, they've gone, the brethren have come from England, spoke to them, and they are happy, they've had fun, which is good. But when they are back, don't get busy into your daily life and forget about what they've been taught. Let's do our job. Let's take that responsibility to speak to them. Ask them, what have you been taught? What did you catch? What did you keep? And you, as a father, as a mother, the fifth gospel, start now evangelizing your children. The prophet keeps on saying, but when that seed came to life up there, something struck him, and he knew there was something going to take place. He knew, looked at the clock and seen what time it was, and he knew how he must and how what he thought as he watched. Now, when we got all this together, all these great things that he seen, the scripture time, the prayer of his mother and his father, and he was born as a peculiar child, an odd child, and all along there have been something way down in him. You see the role of the parents. Even though the prophet says he was facing the burning bush, he was receiving his commission, but still the prayer of his father and mother were still with him. They were still praying for him. Even though he was already a big boy, a big man, runaway man, but they were there still praying for him. I know when I ring my mom, every time I speak with her on the phone, Sometimes I get, you know, upset. Because she wants to treat me as a little baby. You know, sometimes the way she speaks to, did you eat? Did you? So, come on. Sometimes, but that the heart, that, you know, the God-given nature it has put in you. If for these natural things, you can care about your child, about your son, even when he's married already with children, but you're still caring about him. Amen. What about the spiritual that will last forever? Are you looking? Are you providing for that realm? Amen. It's very important, my brother. Very important. That trust that God has put in our children for us, let's use it to show them, to channel them on the good channel. To show them the way that will lead them to salvation. And if you are true to yourself, if you are faithful to God, God will give you your children. God will save them. If you don't, I'm afraid. There's just one question that come up to my mind. Are you saved yourself? Maybe you may not be saved. That's why you are not able to, you know, transmit the salvation to your children. You are not able to transfer the same experience you've got to your children. Because the prophet says, when someone is saved, he is responsible to bring that gospel to someone else. So if you are not bringing it to them, can we say that you are not saved maybe? But if you are saved, you will bring the gospel to someone else. And the first layer of people that surround you is your family. The first layer is your children. And they are your first. You don't even need to labor to win them. You don't even need to labor to get them to believe what you believe. But most of the time, we are busy doing something else. Most of the time we think bringing them to church, buying them a Bible, which is good. I don't disagree with that. But we need to go beyond that. We need to go beyond that. Yourself, brother, sister, you are not just a church goer. You know why you go to church. You know why sometimes you can sacrifice yourself. Back home, I know, we were walking sometimes for 3 hours to get to church. You know, we didn't eat anything. You wake up in the morning, no food, no transport, and there's a burning sun. You know, the sun is very, very hot. But you start, walk 2 hours, 3 hours in, 3 hours out. Why did you do that? It's because you just don't want people to see you go to church, but you have met someone. You have made a personal experience that makes you take all the risk that it takes. That makes you, you know, defy, challenge any obstacle that will stand before you because you know what you have believed. And that the same experience you need your children to come to. They shouldn't always only be, why are you going? We are going to church. Wait, when we'll come back, we'll play. That's good. It's a good beginning. It's a good experience to show them that going to church is good. But you need to do more than that. They need to go far beyond that. I'm going to read you something about a mother. This mother, she's had 19 children. You know, out of the 19, only 10 got to adulthood. The rest, you know, the conditions of life on that time. 9 of them died, passed away at young age. It's John Wesley's mother, Susanna Wesley. You know, she's one of the, you know, strongest women of all time. She's considered by many Bible believers as a strong character. Because look at her children. She has brought evangelists. She has brought even one star, one of the stars in the hand of the Lord. Charles Wesley, Samuel Wesley, you'll find they've been just big, big people. Most of the songs we sing today, they've been written by that woman's children. Most of the things that we do today, the Methodist, the big Methodist church, started in that woman's house, the Wesleys. But how did these people become big people they became? Because they had a very strong character of mother with them. The father was an evangelist. He was a minister and was always busy, you know, traveling. He was not always at home to look after the children. He was busy, a missionary, going here and there. But this woman, she did her best as a single mother, raising her children on her own, but she raised them up to become big names that history will never forget. Why? She used that channel. She used that trust relationship between her and her children. She knew how to exploit it so that she could bring this, her children to full manifestation of the potential that God has put in them. The writer says, Susanna homeschooled her 10 children. She had strict guidelines for her home that may seem harsh on the surface. However, in her son John Wesley's writing of his early years at Oxford, the discipline that he learned while at home under his mother's teaching resulted not only in him being well prepared for the life in higher education, but equipped him as a Christian swimming against the tides of mainstream university life. Amen. So that boy, I don't know if you have seen the 16 rules that this mother had in the house. I don't have them here. But she had 16 rules that the children has to follow. They have to go to bed at such the time. They had to do this. They have to do such job at home. They have to, the first thing in the morning is prayer. When we are praying, no one will speak. We need to be quiet. There were rules like that. And so as soon as a child starts, you know, understanding, not even speaking, understanding, she will start teaching him how to play even through gestures. You tell him, close your eyes, do this, do that. As soon as the child start to articulate a few words, she started teaching him how to pray. And they grew up to become the John Wesleys, the Charles Wesleys, and so on. John says, the teachings, the discipline, and everything that the mother taught him, equipped him to become, what did he say? He was prepared for life in higher education, but also as a Christian, swimming against the tide of mainstream life in university. So whatever we tell our children today, when they are out there, you may not know the influence that your teaching, your counseling has on the child. That still voice will still go with them. Dude, let's smoke this. The voice will say, no, 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 I won't. I remember myself, I smoked cigarettes, but I didn't do it with all my heart. I just did it because the influence. They would call me, I don't know, I'm out of fashion. That's why, let me take two. But I didn't have the taste of cigarettes. That taste was killed by my parents' education. I could drink some beer just because my friends were drinking to get myself drunk, just to make them happy. But I didn't have that taste. I didn't find any pleasure in drinking, in doing these things. Why? Because I always remember that counseling of my father, my parents. Susanna Wesley, there's another testimony there. Susanna raised the children with plenty of washing, even scrubbing. The writer used very strong words here. Plenty of washing, even scrubbing with the word of God. Godliness was a way of life in the Wesley's home. Before they could kneel or speak, the little ones were taught to ask a blessing on their food by appropriate signs and to repeat. As soon as they were able to articulate the Lord's Prayer, both morning and evening, and to add their own prayers as well. Amen. So this mother is such an example to us. Because it didn't fail. That strong character, it produced big men of God. There's a lot of testimonies. We won't have time to go through all of them. But let's just keep it in mind. God has given us this responsibility of raising these children. And naturally, he has put in them trust in us. Let's use it to channel them through the way that will bring them to the same experience that you and me have had with this God. If you believe that you are saved, if you believe that you have had that experience meeting God, getting to the new birth, why don't you pass that experience to your children? You will be more than keen to share your worldly heritage, your worldly legacy to your children. Hey, I want 10 million to my firstborn, 50 million to my secondborn. You'll be keen to do it because you want them to prosper. You want them not to suffer. But it's only for a short period of time. But that precious, most precious things that you have, salvation, why don't you share it with them? Why don't you teach them how to fight for their own salvation? How that, you know, Christian life shouldn't be just church going, coming back, going to Wicklow, waiting next year to go maybe somewhere else, but they need to make that personal encounter and say, from that day, you and me, we have our, you know, landmark back. When we look, we say, that day something happened. And from that day, I'm not the same anymore. That's where we need to bring them to. Don't be deceived. No, they are still small when they grow up. Whatever they see today, have they ever seen you praying? Have they ever seen you reading your Bible? Because sometimes what you tell them, they will see what we do. Dad always tell me to. I know my own children. You know, I'm an IT engineer. I work on IT. My job involves sitting on computers. At home, at work, whatever. I have to sit at computers. But when I tell them, guys, no computers. You know, today you have been on computer for long. Since morning you have been there. I don't want you on computer. You have only half an hour for computer today. And James will come later and say, but Dad, you tell us not to do computers, but you are sitting yourself at the PC. You know, I have to tell them, no, I'm not watching YouTube or I'm working. But you are still sitting at the computer. So they watch us. Whatever you tell them, they'll come back and see. Sometimes they won't tell you, but they will imitate what you are doing. So that's why let's preach by our example. Ourselves make sure of our salvation first. Are you saved, my brother? Are you sure? Are you convinced that you have met God? We are going to pray for ourselves and for our children, for our families, for our siblings, for whoever God has put in the first layer around us. Because them, they trust us. I believe this message because of my big brother. When he believed, he came and told me. It was easy for me to believe. I brought the same message to my mother. Since she believed me, she trusted. She accepted the message. And one by one, brother, sister, they started coming because they trusted us. And you have that ability of convincing your siblings, your brother, your son, your daughter. God is there and God will ask you if you didn't use that tool that he gave you and these children get lost, it will be your and my responsibility. Let's pray for them down there in Wicklow. Let's stand. Sister, consider your ways now. Consider yourself. You have the power. God has given you that power to speak life to your children. God has given you that trust from your children to bring them. What influence are you putting on them? Is it gossip influence? Is it the worldly things influence? Look at yourself. Look at what you are sowing now. What will you reap in 15 years' time? We see, we look at them today, they are 5, they are 2, they are 8. But in 15 years' time, they'll be teenagers. They'll be women, they'll be men. And what harvest will be there for us? If we don't sow the right seed now, if we don't use that influence in the good way to make them reproduce the life of God. Just consider yourself as they are hidden there in Wicklow, seeking for the face of the Lord. As they are there retreated from the world, from the things of the world, trying to find God. Let's give them our support. On our knees, praying for them, asking God, supplying God, asking God that He should supply them with that heavenly power so that they will stand the challenge of the hour, so that they'll be overcomers. We don't want them, that the world would swallow them. That's why we We are going to pray. Pray sincerely, my brother. Pray sincerely, my sister, for your children, for all the children, for all the youth there, that God give them his grace. God grant them grace so that they could make their own experience, their personal experience. Because if they don't make that experience today, tomorrow when you die, they'll go back to the world. Tomorrow when you are not there anymore, when they go to university to Australia, they'll start doing things of the world. But if they come to make that God, not my dad's God, not my mom's God, but my own personal God, and relate to that God in a very special, personal way, they will stand the challenge of the hour. Let's all pray. Cher Seigneur, nous venons auprès de toi. Oh Dieu bien-aimé, nous venons, Seigneur Dieu de miséricorde et de compassion, remettre cette progéniture que tu nous as donnée entre tes mains, oh Seigneur. Nous savons, oh Dieu bien-aimé, que tu nous as donné cette responsabilité sacrée, Seigneur, d'être des parents, oh Dieu bien-aimé. Tu nous as donné cette responsabilité sacrée de veiller sur ces enfants, oh Dieu bien-aimé. Éternel Dieu de miséricorde, quel irresponsable, quel genre d'irresponsabilité nous manifesterons, Seigneur. Oh Dieu bien-aimé. Oh Dieu de miséricorde, oh Dieu de miséricorde, tu accordes vraiment ta grâce à ces enfants. Oh, wonderful Jesus, be merciful upon them, oh God. God is so good. God is so good. God is so good. Is so good to me. God is so good. God is so God is so good. God is so good. Is so good to me. Oh, Lord, send your power just now. Oh, 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 Lord, send your power just now. Oh, Lord, send the power just now and baptize everyone. They were in a upper chamber, they were all with one accord. When the Holy Ghost descended, as was promised by our Lord. Oh Lord, oh Lord, send the power just. Oh my Lord, oh Lord, send the power just. Oh, oh, oh Lord, send the power just now and baptize the power from heaven descended with the sound of rushing wings. Tongues of fire came down upon them as the Lord said, my Lord, oh, oh, oh. But just now, oh Lord, send the power just now and baptize everyone. Yes, this old time power was given to our fathers who were this is promised to believers, and we all may have it too. Oh Lord, send, oh Lord, send the power, John. Oh my Lord, oh Lord, send the power, John. And baptize everyone. Oh Lord, send, oh Lord, send the power down. Oh my Lord, oh Lord, send the power down. If anyone have a request, let them just lift their hands and we'll pray the Lord and close the service. Heavenly Lord, we thank you for giving us this opportunity this evening again, this privilege of standing in your presence, O Lord, and being fed from your throne. We thank you for bringing us from our daily business, O Lord, and gathering us under the freshness of your presence, O Lord. We believe that you have spoken to us, O Lord, and let us take our responsibilities, O Lord. You have given us this power, O Lord, to lead our children. You have given them to us. You have trusted us with them, O Lord. And as to those people that to whom you gave those talents, O Lord, you came and asking what they have done with what you have given them, O Lord. Some produced good results, but some didn't. But Heavenly Father, we don't want like that unfaithful servant, O Lord. You have given us, you have trusted us with these children, O Lord, and we want to bring them back to you hundredfold, O Lord, bearing fruits of the Spirit and being useful to the kingdom of the Lord, O Lord. That's why help us. Forgive, O, our negligence, O Lord. Forgive our laziness, O Lord. Forgive our lack of care for them, O Lord. We are just weak people, O Lord. But we ask, Heavenly Father, but from now on, we have to stand, O Lord, and take our responsibility, because we believe that we are saved, but we are making this salvation an issue, a priority for our children, O Lord. We just let them find their own way. Sometimes we say it's the pastor's job, but Heavenly Father, it's to us that you will ask for these children's faith, O Lord. If we don't do anything, will be held responsible, O Lord. That's why help us now as we stand. From now on, O Lord, let's take care of them, both physically, spiritually, but most importantly, their souls, O Lord. We want, O Lord, to care for that soul. We want to commune, O Lord, with that soul so that we can share that same deep that is in us, O Lord, so that they can have that same taste, O Lord, to look, to long for the heavenly things, O Lord. We commit them into your hand, far where they are in Wicklow, hidden in that bush, O Lord, but we strongly believe that they are in your presence. that you'll make yourself manifest, O Lord, and you'll reveal yourself to them. Bless all the ministries that's ministering them, O Lord. Heavenly Father, we know they've come from far. They've sacrificed many things. They've put many things aside to come and cater for them, O Lord. Bless your servants. Bless Brother Daniel Mazur, O Lord. Bless Brother Oliver. Bless Brother Andrew. Bless Brother Maxwell. Bless all the ministers. Bless all the song leaders. Bless everyone. Our sisters who are cooking for them there. Everyone who is contributing. Everyone who is praying for them, O Lord. Bless their nights tonight, O Lord. And tomorrow, they still have a few services. Grant them traveling mercies when they'll be coming back. We don't want to hear bad things, O Lord, because the devil is not happy with them gathering and thinking, talking about the things of the kingdom. Bless us now, O Lord. We commit Sunday service into your hand. Be with us. Bless everything, Sunday school, the preaching of the word, the song worship, everything, we commit it into your hand. Be with us, granting us traveling mercies as we be driving back home, O Lord. Depart with us, bless us, and bless every hand that have been raised, O Lord. Let it come down. Let not it come down void, O Lord, but bless it and let it get whatever their need is, O Lord. We bless you. Take the honor and the glory that we bring in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. 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 God bless you. As we are singing to dismiss. Take the name of Jesus with you, Lord of the Lord and the King. Precious name, oh, sweet. Oh, precious name, oh, oh, I see, well, and joy of heaven, oh, precious name, oh, I see, oh, prophet, and joy of heaven, oh, the precious name of Jesus, I soul with you. When his loving arms receive us and his songs are tongues in flow. Precious name, oh, oh, I sing. Earth and joy of heaven. Oh, precious name, precious name, oh, I say, oh, perfect and joy of heaven. At the name of Jesus, bowing, for him prostrated his feet. King of kings in heaven, crowning. When our journey is complete, precious name,